Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing well. Shall I'm sure everyone's been waiting with bated breath.
Oof, I bet you they
about
have, yeah.
My dentist story.
Well, yeah, let's get into it. Why not?
My teeth are fine.
Well, thank you.
Tune in next week
for more thrilling tales.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that I felt was a bigger deal to me. It's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And we didn't get time to talk about it yesterday. I teased it as a big story because to me it's a big story. The more I've thought about it since, it's a very routine story that has very little interest.
Nope.
Apart from the fact that my dentist was legitimately called Dr. Butt.
And that's never not funny.
B-U-T-T. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
But I didn't know that until the end.
But you didn't know that.
I didn't know that until the end when she handed me the sort of thing that says...
Dr. Butt,
here's your teeth. you're missing these teeth. I forgot how many teeth I've got missing.
Have you got missing teeth?
Yeah, I had them yanked out.
Really?
I had them yanked out when
where?
My teeth are too big. I was once told
so you got the
that
million dollar smile.
I'm two sizes off the size where they stopped making them. So, like, the brackets, because I had braces as a kid.
Right.
These are not natural. I had a fang that just stuck out. Oh, it was like a horizontal. It was the one next to my two front teeth. So not the incisor, but the one in between them. Canine. It was horizontal sticking out.
No way.
Yeah, it's goofy looking. But the brackets that they put on the back molars of your teeth, they have to fit around the circumference of your teeth. Mine were the third largest size you could get.
Wow.
And they had to be made bespoke. As soon as you got out of that.
Yeah. Man.
So, yeah, big teeth. So they had to yank four of my teeth out to make room for my teeth to move into place.
Man, I thought I had it back because I had big teeth. Mm. I mean, I still got big teeth now. But I had big teeth, big braces when I was a kid. I had the sort of brace that's one... It's a mouth brace, but it's all connected, so it connects your top and bottom jaw together.
Whoa.
and you've got a place to rest your tongue, complete with headgear that I had to wear at school.
Oh, you had to wear it at school?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, right?
I feel like that stopped happening. That stopped happening about a year before I got my braces. Because I remember seeing that in American sitcoms, and I thought, this doesn't happen over here.
No, it does, yeah.
And my best friend's dad was an orthodontist, and he said it doesn't.
Yeah, no, well, I did.
But you did.
I had the headgear, and then I got train tracks after that.
Yeah.
And to sort out my pearly whites that I've got now, which are fine, I suppose.
The Americans think we've all got bad teeth.
Well, yeah, that's because the Americans have all got, like, all their teeth.
They've all got fake teeth.
They're all the same size.
It's because they've
got freak mouths.
They chisel them down and they put in veneers.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, like, you've seen Tom Cruise's teeth before he got veneers.
No,
in the 80s.
I don't know what a veneer is, to be honest.
Oh, okay, so veneers, my sister had it done. I went with her to make sure she was okay when she was having it done. My parents were out the country. And I was in the room reading Marvel comics as she was getting her. What happens is you get your teeth and then they chisel away at all your teeth to make sort of jagged, fangs, really. Mm. So they're upside down triangles, if you imagine in your top row.
Yeah.
And using that as kind of a plug, they put on perfect fake teeth.
No way! Yeah.
So if you watch anything like The Only Way is Essex or Made in Chelsea,
which I wouldn't,
they usually have that sort of Essex smile where you're like, or Hollywood smile where you're like, those teeth are too perfect. Sure, some are probably braces and real teeth, but I think that the vast majority are these fake teeth.
They've got no leg to stand on then when they're saying like, well, your teeth are awful. It's like, well, yours are fake.
Well, yeah, you know, well, they've put in the time, but they're very expensive. You've got to admire someone to go through the procedure. What,
and then insult people for not spending that, not wasting that money.
So there was a bit in the procedure where my sister, halfway through, they give them a break. It was like a 3-hour long thing.
Oh, no thanks. Absolutely no thanks.
And she sits up. She's a bit high on the drugs. And she smiles at me. Oh. And she says, how am I look? And I just... I couldn't hold in the terror because it was just this bloody mess of jagged fangs.
Nasty.
I probably shouldn't tell that story on the podcast.
Well, it's too late now. I'm not going to edit it out. Big thanks to Jem for getting in touch with an email that says, Luke, you've messed up again, because I keep pronouncing his name wrong.
Jem.
That's it. I think that's wrong. I think it's just Jem.
Okay. Jem's cool.
Yep. So I think it's Jem.
What a gem.
But, you know, it's your own fault. You didn't spell it phonetically, even though I kept asking you to.
But it's spelled C-E-M, right?
Yes, but it's pronounced G-E-M. Which, that's when you said, oh, it's hem. Like, with a bit of sort of, like, the phlegmy sound with it. And I was like, well, Ollie's such a smart man. He probably knows.
Not with pronunciation stuff.
No, I should have known, really, shouldn't I? This comes in from Robin. Hi, Luke, brackets, and Ollie, Laurie, etc. Glad to hear you've, quote, Marie Kondo'd your house recently. I look forward to the update in 6 weeks' time when you lament where all your stuff has gone and how you now are buying it all back again, which might be what happened to me when my wife got hold of the book, brackets, I'm a librarian, last year. Love the show. Regards, Robin. I don't think I'm going to get to that point because I've got rid of a load of stuff that I thought, I don't need this. Absolutely do not need this. Some of the stuff that I got rid of has been in storage for 7 years.
It doesn't bring you joy. I have been telling you for 4 years, if it's in storage, you probably don't need it. And you're like, but I'm going to give it to my kids.
Yeah.
this is my legacy.
And then I picked up these toys that I was like, I'm not going to give my kid a Bubba Hotep action figure. You know what I mean? Like that, an 8-year-old is not going to be like, have you got an action figure that's Bruce Campbell dressed up as Elvis? I have actually, funnily enough, but it's not really articulated, so you can't really play with it. It's more to look nice.
If anyone's kids get into niche cult movies at the ages of 8 years old, I think it would be your kids. So maybe that was a mistake to throw that away.
Well, I've kept the Bubba the Bubba Hotep figure and my two Dawn of the Dead figures. But I've got all my Ultimate Muscle figures that I bought when I went through an Ultimate Muscle phase.
What's Ultimate Muscle?
You never seen Ultimate Muscle? It's where the name Muscle Buster comes from. The Samoa Joe's finishing
movie. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's an anime about wrestling.
What?
Yeah, it's a really, really wicked cartoon, and I had like a load of action figures from it. You essentially bought them; they were all like tiny action figures. They came in sort of like big bulk set things, so I had quite a few of those. I'm getting rid of all of them, and I'm getting rid of my Bob and Doug McKenzie action figures that McFarlane released a number of years ago.
I think we should probably inform SWAFT Nation members what condoing is.
Marie Kondoing.
Yeah, because I feel like it might be quite niche.
I'm going to defer to you here, though, because you read it before it was cool.
I did. Marie Kondo is a petite Japanese woman who has revolutionized the world of tidying up. I read her book a couple of years ago.
Before it was cool.
Before it was cool, lest you not be aware that I'm cool. I read books on tidying up.
Yep. Ahead of the curve.
Well, I've got another hot tip.
Oh, yeah?
Because a monk last year released a book on cleaning. And that was the Marie Kondo of 2018.
Oh, yeah?
So, anyway, she sort of... It's about going through your possessions and going, do I really need this? Or her thing is, does it give me joy?
Does this spark joy?
Does it spark joy? And if you say no, you throw it away. Or you give it to charity, you get rid of it. And... She's got a Netflix series out of nowhere.
Yeah, I've not watched it. My wife has, which is why we're having this sort of big tidy. But it was a tidy that we needed to do because I had far too many T-shirts that I didn't need. And some of these T-shirts I've had since I was 14. And I was looking at these T-shirts being like, do I need to wear a T-shirt that I was wearing 20 years ago? It's all faded. It was too big for me then. It's too big for me now. Like, I don't need to wear... Look at me. I used to buy T-shirts that were XL because I liked wearing baggy T-shirts. I'm 33 years old now. I can't get away with wearing baggy T-shirts. Mm. I need to wear T-shirts that actually fit me. So some of these, like, Dickies T-shirts and my Carhartt T-shirts, I'm like, I don't need these anymore, really. I'm just keeping hold of these because it reminds me of my teenage years of when I used to go out skateboarding every weekend and I was cool.
Take a picture. Take a picture of the T-shirt.
Where am I going to put the picture?
On your phone or a Google Drive?
That seems like a lot.
Then you
work.
Can go through the memories.
I remember that T-shirt.
So Kondo, if you hadn't watched Kondo or weren't aware of her methods,
yeah.
would it have changed how you sorted through all your stuff?
Well, only because it's like does this spark joy? But I think I would have gone through the same thing anyway, which would have just been like, I have 4 drawers worth of T-shirts. I probably only need 2. So I'm just going to pick the T-shirts that I like. The only thing that's really helped me from the methods that you said you struggle with, but my wife was very good at, was the folding and folding away things. And that's much nicer. And then when I was cleaning out the second room, which we needed to have a sort out anyway, because we've got stuff from Christmas that we need to find a space for. And I was just like, I don't need these. And I'd done this with my DVD collection prior to Marie Kondo getting her Netflix series. And I literally was just taking out DVDs going like, when was the last time I watched this? Oh, it was 5 years ago. Then I don't need it then.
Oh, scan. Netflix exists.
Yeah, Netflix exists. I've got Amazon Prime. Music Magpie is a thing. I'm just going to scan these and I'm just going to sell these on. I don't care if I'm getting 3p for this DVD of Bow Selector Series 1. I don't think I'm going to need to watch Bow Selector Season 1 anytime soon. And if I do, I can watch on all 4. Anyway, so that's my weekend. So let's crack on with the rest of the show. We're going to dive into the SmackDown review. Ollie was giving me the eyes there to be like, let's wrap this up, shall we?
Well, there's a big timer here.
I know.
I don't know why I have to give you the eyes.
Because you weren't filling the time. You'd ended what you wanted to say and be like, if I just stop talking, he'll have to go into the SmackDown review.
Exactly. Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Carry on a conversation until I was going to go into the SmackDown.
I had nothing to add.
Well, anyway, we're going to the SmackDown review now. We're going to be kicking off with that odd Mandy Rose Jimmy Uso segment because, well, really, we want to talk about Andrade Rey, but I'd already done that for the SmackDown review, so the WrestleRamble review is based around this. But we do spend about 12-13 minutes on it, so get ready. Here's the show.
Well, we're talking the latest in, I guess, a year period or maybe 2 years of soap opera storylines. I keep getting these that there's been 3 hotel room storylines, I feel, of the last couple of years.
Well, I can think of 2.
Including this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So
you've got the Enzo Amore and Lana seduction one. Do you remember this?
No.
This was a big thing.
What was this?
Do you not remember this?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Was I not here?
No, no, you were totally here. Enzo Amore was sort of tempted to a hotel room and Lana was there. Lana was texting Enzo a lot and Big Cass was like, I don't think you should go. And Enzo, like, played it perfectly. This was back when we all liked Enzo. And he goes in, and Lana's there. But it's all a ruse, Sev. Yeah. And Rusev jumps him and attacks him.
I have no memory of that whatsoever.
For me, that is the top. That is the top hotel room angle. It was a really fun brawl in there. It was built up really well throughout the night. Amore's delivery was all very good. Then you had the
One Night in Milwaukee. That for me is the top. Granted, because I can't remember the Enzo one, so it automatically jumps over that one. So that's my favourite of the hotel storylines thus far.
Also involving Lana. But they're the baby faces this time, and Aiden English is trying to insinuate that there was an affair there.
God, what a great little storyline that was. I say great, it's a strong word. But what a good little storyline that was.
Yeah,
that
for the 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks. And then they were just like, nah, I'm bored of this now. We're just going to completely drop it.
And then, of course, as hit, you said you had another one.
I could think of 2. This one and the Milwaukee one. I could. Yeah. The Enzo, the only Enzo storyline I can remember that involved a woman was the Nia Jax thing.
Yes.
That's about the only Enzo storyline I can remember that involved a female.
He's a
what
babe magnet.
What did it lead to?
I can't remember.
Did Cass and Rusev have a match?
Ooh, probably. Enzo probably got ragdolled for a couple of weeks and then Big Cass beat him up.
Was Rusev in a random tag match, a tag team at that point as well? I seem to remember Rusev being in a really weird
with
tag...
Jinder Mahal.
That's right.
Anyway, let's talk
that's
about
what it was leading to.
So that's a trip down WWE hotel room angles from between 2016 and 2019, and now we have a new entry.
Could you tell that we were struggling to think of a topic for this episode?
Which was Mandy Rose. She's been trying to seduce Jimmy Uso recently, not because she fancies Jimmy, as she revealed on this episode, but because she wants to screw with his real-life wife, Naomi.
Yeah, she hates Naomi that much that she wants to. She revealed to Sonya Deville in a backstage segment that she hates her so much that she wants to destroy her marriage. And I know some people may argue, hey, they've been building this feud on Twitter, on social media. None of this has played out on TV. It's just one week they just decided that they hated each other to this degree. And it's been like a wild brawl every week since then.
Well, and we still haven't had that Mandy Rose-Naomi match that we're cheated out of week after week.
Well, you've got to build to the pay-per-view match, haven't you? That's what we're really building to here.
The showdown in the Women's Royal Rumble. It's going to be heated.
Yeah. It will certainly happen.
So Mandy has been texting Jimmy pictures of her more covered up than when she normally wrestles. So she wrestles in like quite a skimpy bra and pants combination.
Yep, and then she...
And she texts him pictures in a bathrobe. Yeah. Or a bath sheet.
Bath sheet, as we discovered last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was last week. The week... I can't remember what they did the week before as well. But now, either way, it's been the same thing. Mandy Rose has done something involving Jimmy. Naomi finds out and they have a brawl. And as far as I can tell, the storyline is... Naomi doesn't believe that Jimmy is interested in Mandy whatsoever, but Mandy is still trying because she wants, and now we've discovered this week, because she wants to destroy their marriage. And it led to an awful segment. I thought this was this was crap.
So we had the, by the way, we seemed to be off the mark yesterday in the Raw review. I was quite surprised that everyone enjoyed those lackluster NXT call-ups.
Hey, people did.
Yeah, well,
fair play to you.
We will be very positive later on in SmackDown's review because it has the fantastic Andrade versus Rey Mysterio match.
I thought this was a great 90-minute show with half an hour of pants in it.
Mm. Literal pants.
And
Mandy got her pants out.
And this was part of the 30 minutes of pants.
So it starts with the Usos. They're having a photo shoot. They're being cool. And Jimmy gets a present. Oh, it's his anniversary soon. He opens it and he reads this really nice message. And then he goes, huh, from Mandy.
Yeah, Jay's reading the message. Mm. And he then, like, because Jimmy wasn't looking at the present. He was just listening to the letter, you know, waiting to hear what the letter says and then look at the present. And it reveals that the present is a hotel key. It's a hotel key for Mandy Rose's room.
A key card.
A key card, exactly. And we then, later on in the show, we then see the backstage segment between Mandy and Sonya, where Mandy reveals her dastardly plan, which is to ruin the marriage of Jimmy and Naomi because she hates her so much.
This really was the main intweaving... Is that a word? Intweaving?
Well, it is now.
Intweaving narrative throughout SmackDown. They're like no other bits got... Sure, other bits were promoted throughout the night, but this was a story that was told across different segments throughout the show.
Yeah.
And this was an interesting one with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville because Deville was like, that's too far, love.
Mm.
Which kind of insinuates to me, and based on Sonya getting annoyed with Rose a couple of months ago that Mandy Rose was cheating so much, that maybe Sonya is setting up a breakaway from this act.
Just as they introduced the tag titles.
Ah, yeah.
And they can't break them up now. They need the teams.
I love my tag teams with friction in.
Oh, yeah, that's always the best way.
Okay, I want my tag teams with friction in, but with the larger feuds, I don't want any tension. And thankfully, that's what I got. Because, as you said, Jimmy Uso decides to go to Mandy Rose's hotel room.
Let's work.
Yeah. Now, what you want here is a situation where it looks like Jimmy might be going to do it, or at least it could fool Naomi that he's into Mandy. And that would, you know, that would create tension. That would create tension between Jimmy and Naomi. It would create more tension between Naomi and Mandy. And it would create tension between Mandy and Jimmy because she's screwed him over there. We didn't do that.
No.
We just got Jimmy coming in saying, you know, well, you know,
I'm
married. He walks out and then Naomi walks in.
Well, so you've missed a key point there.
What's that?
So the way this works is that Jimmy, he's unsure about doing it. He's unsure about, you know, he's left work, essentially, to come to this place.
He's horny.
Clocked out.
Surprised Otis Dozovich didn't just grab the key and run in.
Oh, pretty lady!
Oh, I'm coming!
I'm coming! And he swipes the thing and he walks in. Multi-camera setup, which I'm not a fan of.
I wrote that down too.
Hate multi-camera setups, just to make sure we all know it's not real. And then he walks into the room and Mandy's there and she's wearing like this sort of silk gown thing.
Mm.
She stands up and she takes the silk gown
off. It's
very
fetching.
And she's wearing more than she would do when she wrestles.
But it's a sexier. Sometimes it's not about how much flesh is uncovered. It's about what the clothes are.
Okay.
I'm a fan of clothing design. I just enjoyed the clothes.
Take
them off the lady.
Ginny, the fashionista over here. So anyway, Mandy's standing there in her skimpy outfit. Next thing you know, Peter Parker runs
in. It's lingerie.
Yeah, it's lingerie. So a photographer runs in from out of nowhere and starts snapping some pictures, right? And
to sell to the Daily Bugle.
Exactly. Jane Jonah Jameson, he wanted pictures of Spider-Man, but he was busy. He had another job to get to. And so now it looks like this photographer's got these pictures of Jimmy standing next to Mandy Rose in lingerie, which, as you said, would further the storyline because Mandy then says, this has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with how much I hate Naomi. And she is going to be devastated when she sees these pictures. And Jimmy's like, oh, man, my dick got me in trouble again. This is a problem. Disappointed in myself.
Mm.
And he goes to walk out. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I don't like the multi-camera setup thing. It's all a bit phony. I'm not really into this storyline. But hey, at least the storyline's furthered. And then all of a sudden, the camera whips around. Naomi was standing there the whole time?
I'm confused by that, yeah. So what? She was standing there in a completely bright green onesie.
So visible.
Yeah, usually to my eyes and your eyes, that's a dead giveaway that she's there. I could hear her. That's how loud she was. I could just hear her, that outfit.
So yeah.
And it's all green. What do we use green for?
Green
screen. She was green screened out.
I see. She was like a big floating head.
Yeah.
Yeah, big air.
Yeah.
So Naomi was standing there the whole time. Because I did think to myself, I mean, yeah, Naomi will be devastated when she sees these pictures. But all she's got to do is go on the WWE YouTube channel and just see the segment in full and realize that it was all a Rusev.
So
yeah, Naomi was standing there the whole time. And then they had a brawl. And I might be mistaken on this. My review hasn't gone out yet, but I'd imagine everyone is going to say that I've got this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was watching this, it then looked like Rose threw Naomi over a chair and she ran into the bathroom.
I remember as her running out.
But there was the door. So Jimmy walked through this door here. She ran to a door over here.
Oh, okay.
Which would suggest to me that's the bathroom, unless this is a hotel room that has got two entrances.
Well, some do. They have big rooms onto rooms.
Yes, it could be. Oh, I don't think it would. Maybe.
It didn't look like that kind of hotel to me.
Yeah. So it looked to me like she'd run into the bathroom, which to me suggests it was like, well, now you've trapped yourself. Because if Naomi wants to continue this fight, she's got the advantage. You're trapped.
Yeah, but if you're going to be trapped anywhere, somewhere with a toilet is pretty good.
And a shower in case
you've got
water.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the better places to be trapped.
Yeah.
So I'm quite hyper aware of us being critical because we can be critical about big things. I think that's fine. But when we start to get into the nitty gritty, like, well, it wasn't filmed right, then I can see why people would be annoyed with us like they were for yesterday's Raw review. But yeah, the whole multicam setup really got to me because, okay, there are ways to film this, easier ways to film this that make it all make sense. So you just have it kind of like a fixed camera. Mandy, remember the Alexa Bliss, Mickey James thing and they just left the camera on and that was broadcast to Nia Jax? That sort of didn't make sense either. But do that. Mandy has put a camera somewhere in the room and that's where this feed is and it's being broadcast to all of SmackDown to get to Naomi.
Yeah, you could do this bit.
That makes sense.
You could do this bit next week. So you have him get the key card, you leave, that's the cliffhanger. Then next week, Naomi's doing something and Mandy Rose comes out and goes, oh, actually, I've got something to show you here. It's video camera footage that she shot from a hotel room.
Yeah, and the shot of Jimmy getting to the door is security cam footage. So you don't, you're not there going like, oh, well, there's a film crew there. And every time it cuts to a different angle, you're either like, well, that's either another film crew holding that camera, or it's intercut in separate takes.
Or it's been edited, yeah.
Yeah, so it takes me completely out of it. But yeah, so if you've got all that, to then have a photographer jump in when there are so obviously... This is so obviously being documented on video. To have him jump in, I was just like, I'm done. Now, this could have worked if the story was better and the performances were better. Because that's... I really like the Enzo Lana stuff. I really like the Aiden English Lana stuff.
I loved that.
That was filmed
so
perfectly
good.
Because it was Aiden English.
On his phone.
Exactly. He was practicing singing.
Perfect. So makes sense.
That made sense. The Enzo Lana one didn't, because it was filmed kind of similarly, but it was so wacky and they were such good performances. You're like, I don't care if this doesn't make sense. This is just soap opera silliness, colour me sports entertained. Mm-hmm. The problem here is that Jimmy... It's a great promo. He was not a good actor here. It was very flat. Mandy, same. And Naomi, she just brawled. Like, so there was no real... And the story itself had no tension, like we said. There was no actual genuine misunderstandings here. And there was no big... Like, the reveal of Naomi was just a bit awkward. So, yeah, it's at the bottom of all the hotel storylines for me.
How long do you think Naomi was hiding in that room?
I don't know.
Like, when did she get wind that Mandy had given him a key?
And then
how did she get into the room?
I took it as Jimmy told Naomi right away. And that's why Jimmy went to the room. It was to set up Naomi jumping her.
And that's why he did that's why he was doing acting on the outside about wondering whether he should go in or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying, man. I'm trying my hardest to explain why this played out the way it did.
Yeah.
I must give props, though, to Corey Graves on commentary, who, like, I think Byron was saying, why would you go there? You've got Naomi as your wife. And Corey Graves says, if you've got a winning lottery ticket, you shouldn't be afraid to cash it in, which I thought was very funny.
Someone took the knock with that on Twitter, because they'd sent me a message saying, like, I hope you bring this up in the review, because it's essentially Corey Graves advocating for adultery.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the whole storyline. He's the heel commentator. I think that person might have been worked into getting heel heat there. But so this kind of brings up a larger question with Alexa Bliss's semi-topless angle the night before. Is WWE bringing back some kind of Attitude Era thing? Their blonde female characters are definitely being sexualized. I've got no problem with that if it plays into a story and there's a character reason for it. I think there's effective sexualization and there's gratuitous sexualization, which serves no purpose.
I think the Alexa Bliss one is certainly in that category, whereas this one was in the former category because it was being done for a storyline.
Yeah. Maybe the Alexa Bliss was in the other one, but it was so confusing that we didn't know what was going on.
I've gone back and looked at pictures of Otis on the stage. He's got like white on his face, like white powder on his face.
So he did a line.
Well, could be that he just like Ric Flair just buried his face into a big pile of coke, or it's like powdered sugar from donuts. It's weird. That's all I'm saying.
We saw him at the start of this episode making a weird protein shake. Could just be protein powder.
Could be protein powder, but again, very poorly explained. So back on this segment, I thought it was pretty poor. I've seen some people say that the Alexa Bliss thing was good because it, quotes, bring back the Attitude Era, and that's the bit that we liked of the Attitude Era. I don't agree with that. I think that those are the sort of bits of the Attitude Era we probably should have learned from and realised, some of the things that we did there probably should be left over on this side of things. A bit like Sam Raimi when he did Evil Dead. He has a scene in the original Evil Dead where the woman gets raped by a tree, and he was 19 and he thought that was really cool and edgy. But then later in interviews and like the DVD release, like, I really regret that scene because it was really childish and not cool at all. And if I had the chance to do it all over again, I would not do that scene because he learned from that. So I don't mind the Mandy Rose thing because it's being done as a storyline reason, and it's not a great storyline, but at least it's a storyline. The Alexa Bliss one was just like, hey, this will make a really good YouTube thumbnail. Let's get 2.4 million hits out of it.
Mm. Well, I mean, we are going to use the Mandy Rose one as the thumbnail. So.
I did think Cultaholic were really smart by using the Alexa Bliss thumbnail as well. You made the error by going with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, why? Yeah, that's me thinking Bobby's the draw. Bobby's the new Intercontinental Champion. No one cares about Bobby. People care about Booby.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So SmackDown kicked off. I was so worried. Because it kicked off with
a car arriving
backstage as a cold open. And I was like, oh, not another McMahon. It wasn't a McMahon. It was the man.
It was.
Because Becky Lynch got out. I thought that was nice because it kind of, it conditions you to see, oh, Vince McMahon is really important. He gets out of a car on SmackDown. Becky Lynch is, I felt like she was elevated even more so because of that.
And if you have, I mean, if you've wanted to comment that we were too negative about the show, you'll have already done so. But I thought this was a very, very good episode of SmackDown. And I thought actually the first hour in particular was ace. Mm. Really, really good. And that starts off with this Becky Lynch thing. She gets out of the car. She walks past the New Day, who are observing heavy machinery making this smoothie that's made out of eggs and pancakes and ham and what looked like a bag of Haribo. I couldn't quite work it out, but they were making this sort of crazy concoction, and you got always going like, yeah, I'm making a smoothie, and it's great, and Tucker's going like, yeah, do it doze, and the New Day, wacky New Day, going like, this is a bit wacky,
it's too far for them.
Becky shows up, Xavier Woods with the perfect reaction, unzips his top to reveal he's wearing a Becky Lynch t-shirt. So good. And Becky then drinks some of the smoothie and goes, it's a bit weak for me.
Yeah,
pops it down, and she just struts the ring. And then I thought she had a wicked segment with Asuka.
Well, even before that, Becky gets out the car. Kayla Braxton, I think it was, asks her, so, what, you know, Asuka said this. They do a little interview thing, which is fine. Becky walks off and then turns around, throws her car keys to Kayla Braxton like she's a jabroni. Yeah, park my car, employee of WWE.
It was proper, like, rock coachman level
stuff. Yeah, it was. And Kayla didn't catch it at all. And Becky just turns around and goes, good catch. That was badass. And then, yeah, then she had the line about not strong and a bit weak for me.
Yeah.
That heavy machinery, I almost wish, because I think this was a fine segment in isolation for heavy machinery. I just would have preferred this sort of stuff maybe 2 weeks after they've actually wrestled a match.
While I agree with you, I thought this was a much better usage but much better way to get over the characters of Heavy Machinery as the comedy characters that they are. It's a much better way of getting them over that way here than they did on Raw, where he looked like a horny goblin.
Yeah, this made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one I was just confused by and felt a bit weird afterwards.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Becky then comes down to the ring. She starts, essentially she buried WWE Creative for just copying her character and trying to paste it onto other wrestlers, which I thought was funny. And she said, but she always delivers on our hype. And hey, Asuka, she had a lot of hype going into WrestleMania last year. And hey, she didn't live up to that hype. She couldn't even beat a woman that I beat 5 months straight all over the world. I thought that Becky was really, really great in this promo.
It was good that she pointed out actual pitfalls with Asuka. You dropped off the radar after WrestleMania. And that's not Asuka's fault, really. That's the WWE creative team, like you said.
It's just not the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah, but it was nice to sort of just acknowledge that and then we can move on. And Asuka feels like more of a bigger deal because you've acknowledged it and moved it out the way.
Yeah, you've taken a abject failure and turned it into a storyline, which sort of makes sense.
Yeah,
that's quite good.
It's now material for a feud, which is good
and that
use
is
of it.
Good.
Asuka came out and then said, hey, you're not just going to be in Charlotte's shadow soon, which is kind of Becky's biggest emotional bugbear, isn't it? Mm-hmm. As much as she's beaten Charlotte, she is obsessed with Charlotte. It's a really nice character trait.
Yeah.
She said, you're also going to be in my shadow when I beat you. So I thought it was a very effective promo.
It was a very effective promo. Clearly, someone backstage didn't think it was that effective, though, because they had Corey Graves repeat some of it verbatim after she said it.
Mm. Then the Iconics came down and did their little usual shtick. They had a funny line saying that Becky's bossy, which is typical behavior for a man. And that got heat. The crowd booed that. I'm a man.
Yeah.
Who's that insulting? Is it Becky? Is it women? Is it me?
I thought that it's kind of... It sort of shows just how far the Iconics have fallen off the radar, really, because, they lose all their matches. They barely had any worthwhile TV time in all of 2018. So they come out to just shockingly little heat, absolutely no heat whatsoever. And even when they do their promos, where they said, we're going to win the Rumble, we're going to win the Tag Titles, people don't care. Mm. People aren't asked about the Iconics anymore, which is a real, real shame.
Yeah, they had a lot of potential as promos, not as wrestlers.
I don't know why you're so down on them as wrestlers. I think Peyton Royce in particular is really good.
I have yet to see proof of that.
Well, if you watch NXT, Ollie,
Watch the takeovers. We've been through this. So Becky turns to Asuka and has this awesome line where she goes, you want to see why I'm the best? And then she just turns round and she checks which one of you Iconics wants to get in here and I'll kick their ass. And it's Peyton Royce and... it's fine. It's Royce gets the upper hand when Billy Kay interferes, and it goes, as long as it should do, really. And then Becky just taps her out at the end. But the only thing of note, really, was Lacey Evans watching backstage.
Aye, she's really been paying attention to how to watch her TV classes down at the Performance Center because she had that nailed.
Yeah.
And she's really, really good at watching it from an angle.
It's part of her etiquette training, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And she was there drinking what I believe was an old fashioned. I think that's what
wasn't
it was.
Wasn't it in a large glass?
No, it was not in a large
glass. Oh, it was a big tumbler.
Yeah.
Oh.
Classy lady.
Mm.
She's not drinking no cocktails with with palm trees coming out of it and cocktails.
Curly straws, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Umbrellas, that's the word I was after.
I've written, good grief, that's lame.
I said in my review, it was better than Raw.
Yeah, I guess it's better than Raw.
Here, she was actively watching wrestling. If you did not know who Lacey Evans was, that segment from Raw, you wouldn't have no idea. Mm. You wouldn't know she was a wrestler. She could be anything. At least here she's watching wrestling.
I don't want to get sucked into the NXT call-up vortex. But I think these are actually quite effective ways to debut these acts. Because, like we said, they're not the top tier of NXT talent that's being called up here. It is... not even the mid-card. It's the undercard wrestlers. They're not on takeovers, really.
They're bodies to fill up a card.
Yeah. So Lacey Evans, she's never going to be anything of note anytime soon on the main roster. So she doesn't need a big hot angle. Maybe, like you said, the Drifter, just have them appear backstage and you slowly weave them in to this continuity or this universe. What I have the problem with is the month of video packages that were run hyping them. That's have one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got the video packages running, make it a big debut. Don't have video packages running and then just cameo appearances and then something happens.
Exactly. And I do get the argument that just like, hey, you can't just keep bringing NXT guys, like NXT guys and girls, and just putting them into the main event scene. Like, I completely get that argument. And I don't think there is anything wrong, as you say, with introducing a character like Lacey Evans like this, where she's watching wrestling, she's scouting things, or Heavy Machinery doing like comedy skits backstage, or EC3 just posing in front of a camera. I think my issue with it is that they've done six of them at the same time with that month of video packages, and then on two shows they've just had these random people just showing up doing random things backstage, and that's when you do four of it, it's not effective.
No. Yeah, if Vince McMahon,
it's fine.
On the same opening segment as the McMahon family's announced a new era, that's when you start doing these things. Don't build my anticipation for a month. That's on you, WWE, but I said I wouldn't get into this.
You're just like Principal Skinner. Maybe it's the kids that are wrong.
So Asuka gets in after Becky's victory and just starts awesomely screaming in Japanese.
So much better than when she cuts a promo in English. So much more effective. She sounds terrifying.
Yes. Yes, she does sound scary. And she turns around and is like, you get it. Oh, no, she goes after them, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, grabs Billy Kay. She's getting a promo in Japanese. Billy Kay doesn't know that she's challenging her to a match. So she's walking away, helping her friend at the back. Mm. And then I'm a big, big fan of Billy Kay because I think her facial expressions are awesome. Like, she's so funny with, like, selling peril. And Asuka just grabs her, throws her into the ring. And Asuka locks in the disarmer while staring directly at Becky Lynch, which I thought was great. And then she transitioned into the Asuka lock and got the very, very quick win. The only other thing I suppose I wanted to mention about this segment, which I thought was really, really good, A, it puts over Becky and Asuka as both equally badass winners, and that's a good thing. Good use of the Iconics there, I suppose. I thought that was awesome. Really elevated their title match as well. But, and this is something that's a very small thing, but I really appreciated it, Becky wrestled the match in her street clothes.
Mm.
She came out for a promo. She wasn't expecting a match to happen.
That's a good point, yeah.
I really don't like it. The Miz is a real bad. He's really awful at this. If he's not got a match coming up next, apart from on this show, prior to this show, he would come out in a suit if he was doing Miz TV that was not going to lead to a match. But if it was going to lead to a match, he would do Miz TV in his gear.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, why are you in your gear, Miz? It's almost as if you knew a match was coming.
Hey, he knows how Miz TV goes. Usually has a match with the person he's interviewing afterwards.
But Becky just came out here for a promo, not expecting to have a match, and then she got a match. So she just wrestled in a gear. And I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, I really liked this compared to Raw, because you've got this Ronda Sasha Banks angle or feud where they're just, it's just, no, you're misunderstanding. I didn't say that. And Sasha's like, oh, I'm grumpy at you. And they're trying to diffuse the tension, which I don't think is an effective way to build.
So negative.
To build a program. But here, they're doing the complete opposite, which isn't based on friendships or anything like that. It's, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. Okay. And there's very few clearer ways to show that than I'm going to beat one half of a tag act. Well, I'm going to beat the other half of a tag act.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it quicker.
Yeah. I thought this was a very, very effective segment.
Thumbs up all round.
And it transitioned just like last week. There's no pause for breath. AJ Styles' music hits. He walks out. He kind of stares down Becky Lynch and Asuka, which made me... It puts the women on a level of the men in the sort of overall presentation eyes.
Yeah,
I really like that. And I thought, is AJ going to like challenge Becky?
I thought they were going to have like a moment or something. I really did.
Yeah, like, AJ's annoyed. We know he's an emotional hothead.
We've seen it over and over again.
It's a consistent character trait.
Time and time again we see it. And so AJ hops over the guardrail and he walks up through the crowd, and then we go to a commercial break. We come back and he is standing in front of a, quote, concession stand. Which,
it's a shoot concession stand.
You reckon?
No. It's a working one.
I would say this one looked more worked than last week's one.
Well,
yeah.
They had some, weirdly, you don't sell hot dogs pre-prepared at a concession stand.
Yeah,
no.
On paper plates.
But he was like, look here, I've got hot dogs. People want hot dogs. They paid money to come and see it. They can do whatever they want, Daniel
People
Bryan.
People can eat whatever they want. They can drink whatever they want. Hey, you can buy whatever you want as well. AJ Styles merchandise, and it starts flinging out his merch to everyone. I thought it was really cool. All of a sudden, a guy in a hoodie attacks AJ. It's Daniel Bryan. They have this brawl ending with AJ putting him through a table covered in mustard.
Yeah. I thought, well, not just mustard, Luke.
Hot dogs.
Meat.
Yeah.
That's what Brian doesn't like.
Exactly, because he's a vegan, rather.
He was put through meat. A meat table match is what I want. A first meat match.
A lot of beef there.
Yeah. So I thought it was very good. I genuinely didn't see Daniel Bryan coming. That caught me by surprise. Oh, God, he was there.
Yeah.
I thought it was well hidden.
I thought it was a really, really great segment. I thought it was awesome.
So short and really just succinct.
Yeah.
No, there was no fat on it, which is good.
And we said last week as well that there's always a concern with WWE booking. If they've got 3 weeks, then they're often likely to drop the ball. They'll start really hot and then end with Joe reading a letter. I think they've managed to actually maintain the level of heat that this feud has got. With 2 weeks to go, or actually next week's the go-home show, they might be
able
to...
Tell Shane McMahon that.
Well,
Royal Rumble this Sunday.
This Sunday. Idiot. But yeah. So I think they did a really good job of maintaining the heat they had last week and building on that heat. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's a logical follow-up.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan cuts one backstage last week and AJ Styles does his own spin on it this week.
Exactly.
Very good.
I thought it was great.
Then we had the Usos getting the Mandy Rose hotel room card in the next segment. Then Andrade got a promo backstage, and this is where they started. I think they announced it at the start, but that they doubled down on it's Andrade versus Rey Mysterio tonight.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
They've dropped the name. He joins Alexander Rusev. I think that Vince just doesn't like A names because Antonio Cesaro,
Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
But there's a few others. There's Big E Langston, which kind of ruined my.
Well, they dropped the surname.
Well, he's dropped his surname.
Oh, yeah.
His surname's Almas.
Surname and. I really like the 100 bits, the CN. I enjoyed that.
Well, I'm more into the name Andrade Cien Almas than I am Andrade.
I like Cien Almas.
Cien Almas.
If you're going to drop one of them, drop the Andrade bit.
Yeah, good point.
No offense to anyone called Andrade out there.
Absolutely not. But yeah, so it's a bit of a shame that they've dropped the name. I don't think we've really heard a reason why they've decided to drop the name, other than that Vince hates first names or surnames when it sort of suits him. Because John Cena never lost a surname or a first name.
Rey Mysterio.
He's always kept his. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, they've all kept theirs. But Rusev lost his. Cesaro lost his. Adrian lost his.
There's no pattern here. It's well, I guess some are main eventers and the others are mid-carders. And you're like, oh, how do I take them to the next level? They've got too many names. Yeah. So it's going to be the year of Andrade, is what Zelina promised, and he'll become WWE champion at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But this week, yeah, what an exciting match to have, Rey Mysterio and Almas.
Speaking of exciting, we also got a tease that Carmella and Truth's Mixed Match Challenge holiday that they had to Stamford, Connecticut. Oh, man, you can see the wacky video on WWE.com, because we're not going to show it on TV.
That's a shame, because I've watched a few of the videos, and they're funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, one where R-Truth and Corey Graves makes coffee, and Corey Graves is like, it's the best cup of coffee. It's the best cup of coffee. And Truth's like, I can't wait, man. I'm waiting for this coffee. It takes ages to make. And then he gives it to Carmella, and Carmella's like, this is the worst coffee I've ever had. It's a shame, because that was the good part of the mixed match challenge payoff. I don't care for them as number 30 in the Royal Rumble.
So we got that. We also saw Samoa Joe walking backstage, and he walked past EC3 posing in front of a mirror.
Now I think this is a bad way to that, like, EC3
was again better than Raw.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But I'm looking for positives here.
You know how I said I'm not going to get into the NXT call up vortex.
But
how I said earlier that Heavy Machinery and Lacey Evans, those are, you know, pretty good ways to debut those lower tier acts. But I think EC3 has such potential on the main roster. Not a good fit for NXT, but he has such potential on the main roster as a body guy and a promo guy. I feel like this is not the most effective way to debut him. He's got a lot more potential than a few mirror spots in cameos backstage.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
But Samoa Joe was walking past EC3 to come down for a match against Mustafa Ali. And Ali comes down, but Joe attacks him midway through the... Well, he's on the turnbuckles posing. and he just brutalizes Mustafa Ali.
But my favorite thing about this was Joe's beating this guy pillar to post, and the crowd start chanting for a table. Samoa Joe sets up Ali to powerbomb him through an announcer table, because announcer tables do count, so I would be winning the wrestle.
They're desks.
So I'd be winning. He goes to powerbomb him through the table, but then, because the crowd wants it, he's like, nah. And just throws him into the barricade instead.
Yeah.
Like a true heel.
That is good. That's very, very smart stuff. Good psychology.
It's not Sami Callihan levels of good, where he went to get people were chanting for more steel chairs in that Slammiversary match against Pentagon. But this is still very good. Mm.
I thought the best thing about this was Ali selling.
Oh, he's great.
So Joe throws him into a ring post and Ali is dead. He is just down. Like, some people sell death in different ways. And I like the way Ali does it. He looked genuinely... I felt for him. I think it might have been the way his LED heart was flashing like it was broken. Like, I'm
oh, like he's Tony Stark.
Malfunctioning. And then Joe walked off and he threw him into another ring post when he decided to come back. I thought this was a very, very good segment.
Builds a little mini feud going into the Rumble match itself to build up the Rumble. Puts Joe over as a complete killer and someone who is very, very dangerous. And puts over Ali as the underdog who has to come back against the larger bully. Thumbs up all round. Thought this was great.
Yeah, and it lasted exactly as long as it should have done.
Yeah.
And Joe cut a promo backstage a few bits afterwards just about the Royal Rumble. That's an example of what he's going to do to everyone. Ring posts are kind of outside the ring, though, Joe. But again, really short, really effective.
And he said he had a killer line where he says, any man who declares himself a champion, I declare a target.
Mm.
Oh, that's great.
Mandy Rose had the backstage thing with Sonya Deville. Then we got Rey Mysterio walking to the ring. And it wasn't EC3 in the mirror this time. It was Nikki Cross behind a fence, just kind of screaming, come play with me.
Yeah, she wants to play. Really weird to have Nikki Cross appear on SmackDown and not do anything with Sanity.
I'm not going to get into the NXT Vortex.
But?
Rey Mysterio took on Andrade next. And the commentary just... This was a stellar TV match.
It was awesome. Mm. Really, really good TV match.
And credit to WWE. They presented it the way they should have. The commentary put it over as like a real big time thing. Throughout the night, they were promoting it. But they even had loads of tweets appear on screen at one point.
People saying, I can't wait to see this match. Yeah, I thought it was a really, really excellent presentation of this. And they delivered an absolutely incredible match. I thought it was really, really good. An incredible TV match. I want to put a little caveat there. And it's a match I would love to see again on pay-per-view.
It's kind of like that really, really great TV match is a lost art, because you have this match on TV and it's really good and exciting and you're really into it, but you leave enough in the tank to make you want to go, I want to pay money to see that at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that's when you have an even better match at a pay-per-view. So this was like, this was the perfect example of that. I'm such a fan of just solid TV matches.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really like the pacing. It starts out actually quite slow for about a minute, 90 seconds, headlocks, feeling each other out.
Lucha things.
Yeah, and then the crowd are just, you know, they're building anticipation. They were never bored, like a Baron Corbin rest hold. And then all of a sudden, boom, kicks into gear. Rey's running, Andrade's running, reversal, flip, ring ropes. Oh, really good pace.
Oddly, the crowd chanted, you still got it, at Rey Mysterio.
Mm.
Never lost it, mate.
WWE crowd, probably not keeping up with the last couple of years.
He's been around for like a few months now.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's not like this was his first match back.
But there were so many lovely spots. There was this, I don't know how they did it. Rey got in an electric chair spot, you know, where he usually does his Hurricane Rana off of it. But Andrade threw them both over the top rope to the outside. Somehow they land with the same Rey in the electric chair position, but Andrade doesn't let him hit the Hurricane Runner off that. He reverses it into a powerbomb.
Yeah, set out powerbomb.
Oh.
That was great. And they did like, there was a spot where Almas was standing on the apron and Rey did a top rope Hurricane Runner to Almas on the apron, or Andrade, I should say, like over to the floor. I was, and then got up and dropped the dime from like the sort of the ring post area thing. It was really cool. Did the Canadian Destroyer, which Graves called the same maneuver he did last week, because they don't want to say the word pile driver, I guess. And I'll tell you what, do you know what my favorite thing about this match was? And this is something, again, like Becky wrestling in her street clothes, this is something that's very minor that I really appreciated. This match had two ad breaks, when they came back from ad breaks, not a single rest hold in sight.
Yes.
They were just doing wrestling.
They even showed a replay of what happened in the break at one point, which was Almas catching Ray with a dropkick when Ray jumped off the top rope.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I wish I missed. I wish I saw that bit.
I should go to see this live because then I get to see the whole thing in full.
Yeah, totally.
It didn't come back to chin locks or anything like that. No, it came back and it was just moves. And I really, really appreciate that.
I really appreciated Zelina Vega on the outside.
Gosh,
they showed her occasionally and she was just like, particularly off the Hurricanrana to the off the apron, she was mortified. She was like, oh no, Almas is in trouble.
Acting like a manager.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, maybe Almas is in trouble here. You know, it just makes me buy into it more.
Yeah.
Really good. And you had the Canadian Destroyer, but then they went on further and kind of did. So Almas catches the 619, same spot as last week, and has him in that crossbody position. And he does a crucifix Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
Ray does.
It was
I think
really,
it was Ray.
It was Ray to Almas, yeah.
It's just always these two guys, when they work together, they feel like it's not just fresh for them two. It's fresh for wrestling.
I actually said this in my review, but because we've never seen them in WWE, and because it's only Ray that's doing them, the Canadian Destroyer feels like a really fresh, innovative move.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we've been watching people do the Canadian Destroyer now for 15 years or whatever, it all of a sudden feels like a brand new move.
20 if you're John Cena.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I really, really like this. And eventually, I mean, if I was to nitpick one thing, it would be that I'd have preferred Almas to win clean. But
no.
Again, it's a TV match.
No.
It would be completely nitpicking. And yeah, Vega got up, she caused the interference, and Andrade hit the Hammerlock DDT off the top rope for the win.
I think the dirty finish was exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
Because this, you want to have another match between these two guys, and there needs to be a reason for it to happen. Ray needs to be like, well, you know, you effectively cheated. Vega distracted the referee, and then that builds the rematch. I thought it was flawless. There was nothing to correct about this whole bit. Then we got the Jimmy Uso Mandy Rose bit, which was came down a bit, and then we had the main event, which was promoted throughout the night as well. It was Shane McMahon's birthday celebration hosted by The Miz. It was called a Bestie Birthday Bash.
Yeah. You didn't throw me one of those.
No, but I will for Laurie. Because it's his birthday next week.
That's right, it is.
I'm going to make a real big deal of it as well. Those were Chekhov's cakes in the ring.
Oh, yeah, totally.
When Miz brings Shane over and says, here's a cake. And look, there's a picture of me and you holding the World Cup trophy. I was like, that cake, someone is going through that cake.
Oh, man. Where's Vicky Guerrero when you need her? Yeah, it was. So there's two cakes, and he gave him some Air Jordans, which felt like product placement a little bit, because Shane McMahon was like, wow, it's the new Nike Air Jordans. I've really wanted a pair of these. Put them so they're facing the camera so we can all see the logos.
That's honestly how Shane just talks in normal life. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, you know, really, really
Mr.
authentic.
Roboto.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he then had the fluffed line where he said, I can't wait to win the tag titles with you at the Royal Rumble this Sunday.
He gave me a bit of a panic attack. I was like,
I hadn't planned for it.
I can't make it this Sunday or whatever. And then he showed him like a, Miz unveiled a trailer of Shane's career and how it has culminated now with him teaming with Miz.
And it showed footage from the highlights, for me, was the WrestleMania X7 match against Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I love that
match.
Great, great match. It was really cool seeing like young Shane doing a lot of the stuff that he does now, because I'm not the biggest Shane fan in the world. But I think when you do these sort of highlight package, you're like, wow, yeah, no, it is quite cool that he is still doing the same thing. He looks like he's aged, but really he doesn't feel like he's aged. I thought it was a very effective video package in that sense. And then the bar came out.
So I really liked the bit where Shane said, it's always been my dream. It felt genuine when he said, it's actually always been my dream to be a tag team champion. From when I was a little kid coming to the WWE shows, and I wanted my partner to be Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
I'm happy it will be with you, Miz. Yeah. I bought into that. That was nice.
You, Miz, are basically on the same level as Andre the Giant.
The modern day Andre the Giant.
It's what a lot of people call you. And then the bar came out to interrupt, and they sort of make fun of Shane and Miz for a little bit. And Shane books a match between Sheamus and Miz. Miz is like, I'm not in my gear. And Shane was like, hey, man, you're the A-lister. You need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz is like, yeah, no, you're right, I can do this. And it was good. They were, like, encouraging each other. And I don't think this really, like, was caught on camera in the like the match itself. But the photos on WWE.com have got loads of photos of Shane encouraging Miz throughout the match.
Mm.
And actually, I was like, that's quite a nice little story to tell throughout this match.
Yeah, yeah, they're both helping each other. And it ended when, it wasn't much of a match. It was more of an angle. Cesaro got on the apron. Uh-oh, near where the cakes have been moved, Shane got on the apron, threw Cesaro off. Cesaro goes crashing through cakes and tables, and Miz rolls up Sheamus for the win.
They have learned nothing from feuding with the New Day at Thanksgiving. No. They have learned nothing. And it appears that we are in another bar tag team title feud where they just lose all of their TV matches and then win at the pay-per-view.
It's the best way to build a swerve when they win and retain.
So, yeah.
Shane and Miz beat up Sheamus afterwards a bit, with Shane hitting a coast-to-coast while Miz held the other cake in front of Sheamus' face. So that was quite a fun spot.
Yeah.
I quite liked Miz and Shane together here. I think they're working on... I hope Shane doesn't turn heel at Royal Rumble now. I think you want to make me like them incrementally more every week.
You don't want to Y2AJ this?
No, no, no. Because if they break up next Sunday, I'll just be like, oh, well, I was quite enjoying what was going on.
Yeah.
But I never fully fell in love with them. But I feel like I could fall in love with them a month from now.
Yeah. I wasn't a massive fan of the closing angle. But then again, I don't think I'm massively invested in this storyline, really.
It didn't really feel like a main event angle. I would have preferred Mysterio and Andrade to have main evented.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it comes from. Because I was on such a high after that match. And then that was drastically like dragged down by the Mandy-Jimmy thing. And then just sort of dragged down further by this. Because I was like, well, this isn't as good as the Andrade-Ray match. I want more of that, please.
Yeah. I also quite like it getting the main event slot, you know, on the other side, because it just makes the tag match a bit more high profile. They've got a match at the pay-per-view, so it makes sense to give them more a higher profile.
Perhaps.
I thought this was a very fun...
Pay-per-view. The Royal Rumble match is on the pay-per-view. Andrade and Rey are in it.
Yeah, but it's not a singles match. Everyone knows the Royal Rumble is sold on singles matches.
Of course.
Not that gimmick thing that we have to sit through.
Which, actually, we didn't mention, but they did announce Rusev versus Nakamura for the United States Championship at the Royal Rumble. They put up a graphic for Brock and Finn, and then they announced...
Phase out when they run through the card.
They didn't run through the whole card. It was only those two matches that they ran through. But yeah, they
phased out very quickly.
Rusev versus Nakamura, because the automatic rematch clause.
So, I would give this a Smacktastic, I think.
Yeah, I think low Smacktastic, because everything really was on that show was getting a Smacktastic, but the Mandy Rose-Jimmy Uso thing, which I thought was rubbish... sort of drags it down a little bit for me.
Yeah, I thought last Tuesday's episode was better.
Yeah.
But there's still, it's a good run for SmackDown, a good start for 2019.
Yeah. This comes in...
What a great way to start the episode.
I was going to cut off the...
Oh, no, you got to keep in the... and we're back.
Yeah. This comes in from Philip. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and not Randy.
There we go.
Listening to the Raw review, and in the intro, you both talked about running. Side note, congrats, Luke, on the fastest time. And yes, 25 minutes is a way more accurate time than 15 minutes, which is fairly fast. A while ago, I made a club on Fit Rankings website. Through this website, you can sign up to a Ramble Run club, and through connected GPS services, everyone can see their running progress. My hope is that it will help you motivate people to run and will help you, Luke, at being able to track all your runs. Also, Ollie, as a person who works for the shoe brand, I'm interested to know what your trainers are. Stay consistent. That comes from Philip, and he sent across the link to this.
Oh, okay.
Which I can post up on Twitter. I'll forward you the email now.
Can we have a look at who's top and what their times are? I'm going to go... Well, I was going to go for a run today. I want to beat them.
Great radio while we just check emails and stuff. So there are two members currently.
They both hit. Oh, Nikki. Right. Yeah, no, I just backed into Nikki Bella.
Yep.
The big cardboard cutout we have. Okay, Luke Owen, Ramble Run. Where's the link? Oh, Luke. Oh, there it is.
I did send it. Phil actually sent it in two emails because he forgot to put the link in the first
Cheers,
one.
Phil.
Good one, Phil.
Phil Panabianco.
Great name, mate. Do you want to answer his question as well?
No, I want to see who the members are and what their times are. Rankings.
So rude.
I've got to enter at
Yeah, no, I thought we'd do this after. Let's not do this on air.
Nope, I'm going to do it on air. You talk.
Okay, well, I'm going to read out this Agnia Art email that comes in from Vacant. Hi, Luke and Ollie. How are you doing? Good. I have a problem. I've realised I've fallen for a great, smart, nerdy woman friend of mine. The problem is she is with another good friend of mine.
I know I can never
be with her, but I can't stop thinking about her. Any advice? Now, this was sent back in November, so, I mean, we're very, very late with our feedback here. But what advice do you have for Vacant?
If it's another good friend, I'd say you gotta get over that, mate.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst things you can do. I'm sorry, I haven't got much advice. Also, because I'm trying to see who's in the Ramble Run Club. I'm in. Sorry, Vacant. It's me, Philip Panbianco, of course, and Horton Seer.
So I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes for this podcast. So if you do want to join the group, you are absolutely certainly welcome to do so and track your times. I'm going to see how this sort of works. Let's have another Agony Art request comes in from Vacants.
Philip has run. If I'm seeing this right, that can't be this week alone, surely. Oh, right. January. No, it's this week. It's from Monday. He's already run 14 miles.
What?
Is he Forrest Gump?
I just keep running.
I can see how many steps he's done. He's done 26,000 steps.
How many have you done?
I don't know.
Well, now you can keep track. Compete.
Damn.
This is what Ollie Davis needs, I think. This is why he invented Wrestle League, is because he likes a way to compete against people numerically.
I think it's an effective way to show how good everyone is.
There's a reason why the Premier League is structured the way it is.
Yeah.
So we can decide who is the best.
I'm not about participation trophies. I want to win.
I don't want no wooden spoon. I want the cup, mate.
But I'm a good loser, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I undersold the person who's in love with that. That sounds serious as well.
I know. Yeah, especially if you can't stop thinking about them as well. I've been in that position at university. I was really into a girl. It was my housemate's girlfriend. And then they broke up. And I was like, maybe this could be an opening for me. But I thought, you know, no, I can't, because I'm actually very good friends with my housemates. And it would just be weird and awkward.
I was just about to say, I would never go out with a long-term girlfriend of a very close friend of mine. But then as I was thinking about saying that, I remembered that my girlfriend of 5 years was the girlfriend of 7 years of someone I was friends with at university. So, but I think it depends how close you were to the original person.
But if they're still together as well, then there's nothing you can do anyway.
No, you should not break those two up.
Absolutely not. You do not want to be the Mandy Rose of this situation.
No. However, if do break up and you haven't spoken to your friend for a while, like a couple of years, for me, there's a month period. And that's how long it took me to ask out Anna after she broke up.
Let's have this quick agony out. What's our time looking like, Davis?
We're 17 minutes in.
Cool. Well, let's get through this one. It obviously comes in from Vacant. Hello, Luke, Fakador, and that other one. My name is Anonymous, obviously. I moved to London last August with my partner of 3 years from New Zealand.
Hey, mate.
Is that your... I was waiting for you to do an accent, but you sort of did one.
From New Zealand. It's a little bit flatter than the Australian accent. It's a New Zealand accent.
Just for anyone listening to the podcast, the Flight of the Conchords have not walked in and started doing radio with us.
Kiwi.
you just said the word Kiwi.
Kangaroo.
Anyway, life is good, relationship is strong, but the problem comes with our running life. Or jogging life, I should say. For some reason, we have lived here for 15 months now, and ever since we have arrived, we have had jogging time twice.
Oh, wow.
A nice 271-day gap, followed by a 3-day gap, and then nothing since, whenever the hell that was. And he's got emojis in his email, but it's an upside-down smiley face, which I don't know what that one means.
I don't know what that means.
No. I know it's a two-way street, but I'm not sure what's going on here, and she hates talking about it. Brackets. great. Any advice on what to do on my end? And then he's got two emojis that are like the gritted teeth one, I think.
Yeah.
It's that one.
Yeah. It's this noise.
Yeah.
Kind of when you count down from 10 in an Iron Man match.
Yes. So cheers, Anon. Brackets, we're both 22 years old, FYI.
That's a prime of your sexual life. You should be like rabbits jogging. Hopping around like rabbits.
Like Judy Hopps.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. Don't let me go down that bunny hole. No.
Any advice for Anonymous?
Well, I think first of all, you've got to sort of create a space. Not create a space. What do I sound like? You've got to bring it up. You've got to talk about it. I know she doesn't like talking about it, but if you bring it up and say, "Hey, this is getting me down. Actually, I feel quite sad because going jogging, I believe, is actually a big part of relationships, and especially when you're young. So." Do that, kind of come up with a plan, get a spreadsheet down, start logging all the times that you want it to happen and it doesn't happen. So you can go to her with a load of evidence.
Yeah.
And say, look, these are all the times. Look at these are all the times in May 2018 where I wanted to or tried to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Jogging. Come on.
And it didn't happen for whatever reason. And then you can say, like, if she says, "Oh, but we, you know, we go jogging all the time." So statistically,
yeah,
here's the stats.
Here are evidence.
I'm not saying that you deserve, like, you shouldn't expect it, of course. But you've both got to work at it. It's a team effort thing. Go out on some dates. Liquor always helps me.
Oliver Davis, that is terrible advice.
For jogging?
No, even then, I would say that a strong conversation is needed. And I know that your partner is not, she doesn't like to have this conversation, but it's a conversation that needs to happen. If it's something that bothers you this much, then it's a conversation that you need to have. And she needs to be aware that this is affecting you and your general well-being. So I that would be my advice.
How would you start that conversation?
We need to talk about this.
Oh, no, I think breakup right away.
What, offer a breakup?
No. If you say, we need to talk about something. I'm too scared. I'm like, what, are we breaking up?
Well, no. Well, and if anything, I'm actually letting you down gently because you think it's something really awful and actually it's not that bad. Yeah. We can just have a conversation about it. All of a sudden, you feel better about that conversation, right?
Sometimes I get so immediately anxious that it takes me a few days to recover and I don't absorb anything anyone says. I think it's...
I'm going to start all of our business meetings from now on.
Andy Datson once didn't text me back for an hour. I thought he was dead.
In all fairness, with the rate that he goes with in the in our WhatsApp group, I would have thought he was dead as well.
He's unwell today. Get better, Andy.
We do love you, really. Let's have... you're going to tell me no, but do you want a quick poetry corner?
Go on, then. Better be short.
It's not that short. Hi, Luke. This is something I've come up with for poetry corner. I haven't written poetry in years, and so Ollie's thoughts on it would be great, too. Keep up the great work. Support WrestleTalk Dan B. Just call me that, not my full name. The Tale of the Universal Championship. Now, you are not going to like this poem based on the first two lines.
Uh-oh.
I was first warned by a demon whose shoulder got broken. It didn't last long. I was soon left heartbroken.
Yeah, you've rhymed a word with the same word. Okay, let's carry on.
Yep. I was left alone for less than a day. My new owner was decided in a fatal four-way. It featured Big Cass, Seth Rollins, and Roman, but there was no mention of Big Brawny Strowman. Paul from back office marched down and got going with pedigree to Seth, handing the win to Kev Owens. I hung with Big Kev for half of the year, and all of a sudden, who should appear? There was a return of Goldberg to try and end Kev's reign. He wrestled in Milwaukee at the event called Fast Lane. Hmm. I was gone from Kevin in just half a minute. The match was so short, if you blinked, you would miss it. I was only with Bill for 28 days, until in Orlando, Goldberg was slayed. The start of my life with Brock and Paul meant I never got to see much of you all. I was meant for the universe. I could not imagine being treated any worse. Until in Brooklyn, New York at SummerSlam, I had a new owner, Roman was the man. For the next couple of months, I was defended at will. Crown Jewel was looming with Roman until, a sad day for Roman, I was relinquished again. I would then be pursued by the monster among men. He was squashed by the beast with five F5s. It was a beatdown. He just couldn't survive. Again, I'm left with Brock and Paul. I may have a new owner on the grandest stage of all.
That was pretty good.
Hmm.
What? Sorry, who was that? Was Ben
Danby?
Danby.
You're so far off with Ben.
Well, B was the last. I just heard the last letter. Yeah. And filled in my own name. Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah,
it took me down memory lane. I forgot that Big Cass was in that four-way.
Set for such a big push, remember?
We were all excited.
Yeah, we thought.
What an effective way to get him over as a main eventer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Speaking of, you see Humberto Carrillo debuting on 205 Live. Had an excellent match with the Cruiserweight Champion and sort of proved himself and is already now an established star on 205. It's amazing what can happen when you give people proper pushes. Sometimes it's just difficult to do, I guess. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this show. Laurie and I will be back tomorrow for the NXT review. We'll have more of your correspondence, of course. And then we'll be back with the Saturday show, not Royal Rumble, because it's not this Sunday. That's coming the following week. So, take care. We'll see you tomorrow. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.